1 Timothy chapter 6. In a moment, the reading will be verses 9 through 11. Endurance, steadfastness, perseverance. When a Christian, because of his hope in Jesus Christ, exhibits endurance, steadfastness, perseverance, not with grumbling and complaining, but with joy in the Holy Spirit, that is the grace of patience. The Christian grace of patience is all anchored to Jesus Christ. He is the great example of patience, as he labored and suffered patiently, not turning back, but continuing to do the will of God all the way to the cross. It is in companionship with him that we ourselves labor and suffer in patience. It is in his name that we pray for increase of patience, and it is into his kingdom that we hope to enter by way of patience through tribulations. We grow in patience, not primarily in easy times, but through troubled times in this life. It is when we fall into various trials that the testing of our faith develops patience. As we pray for patience for ourselves and for each other, the Lord works in us, directing our hearts into the patience of Christ. As we give all diligence to it, we add patience to our own character. The grace of Christian patience is the ability to suffer and to work, waiting in hope for Jesus Christ. So we learned together in last week's study. Today we continue to contemplate the grace of patience by seeing in the scriptures how important it is, what we need it for, to help us in our resolve to flee temptations and pursue patience. 1 Timothy 6, starting in verse 9. Those who desire to be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and many foolish and harmful lusts which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is a root of all evil, for which some have strayed from the faith in their greed and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. But you, O man of God, flee these things and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. See in the scriptures with me this morning how important the grace of patience is. That the very important things that we hold dear in life call for patience. We need patience corporately, meaning as a body. We need patience corporately for the good of the congregation. I'm going to turn to Revelation chapter 2. I think I already said this last week, but most of you had to miss it. I've been studying in Revelation, and I am more able now than I used to be to refer to Revelation, and I find help for us there in the letters to the congregations, the seven letters to the churches. We need patience corporately for the good of the congregation, for keeping up the work of the congregation. The word that we're studying today, that we're translating patience, the Greek hupomone, as the apostle uses it, refers to how a Christian suffers and works, waiting in hope for Jesus Christ. Well, listen to what the Spirit has to say to the churches as the Lord Jesus uses this very term. Revelation chapter 2, and I'll read starting in verse 2. I know your works, your labor, your patience, and that you cannot bear those who are evil, and you have tested those who say they are apostles and are not, and have found them liars. And you have persevered and have patience, and have labored for my name's sake, and have not become weary. Now the Lord Jesus will say something about patience to one of the other churches, Revelation 2:19. I know your works, love, service, faith, and your patience. And as for your works, the last are more than the first. So here are two of the congregations whose labor, whose works, whose service are found pleasing to the Lord Jesus Christ. In those works, in that service, in that labor, he has found that they have exhibited patience. It is by patience that they have been able to stay at it in that labor. It is by patience that that church is doing more in good works in his name than even they did at first. It is by patience that the Ephesian church has been able to test first one false teacher and find him false and get rid of him, and then to test another false teacher and find him false and get rid of him, and keep that up for years and years and maybe decades. It's by patience that the church has been able to take on an impenitent person in the congregation and either win him to repentance or exclude him. And then when they find another impenitent member, start the process again with him and go through it and keep doing this and not endure evil people in the congregation and keep that up for years and years. It's by patience that the congregation has been able to keep up the extremely important work of keeping false teachers out of the congregation and keeping those who live impenitent in sin out of the congregation. I'm telling you that we need patience corporately for the good of the congregation. First, for keeping up the work of the congregation, then also for keeping peace in the congregation. I'm turning for this to Romans chapter 15. Now, what you are seeing in my method of Bible exposition here is not anything complicated or not anything that you can't practice yourself also. When I was studying our verse, you know, we're reading through 1 Timothy, came to chapter 6, verse 11, and one of the words listed there is patience, using the helps that are available on the computer and on the phone. I just looked to see what that Greek word was, found it to be hupomone and the Strong's number, and I just then word searched that on the computer. Where all is that word used in the Bible? And then I read through all of those, compiled them, and realized in what ways the apostles use this term. And so I'm taking you to show you where this concept of patience appears elsewhere in the Bible and how it's connected to our study. Because, you know, in our verse that we're studying, 1 Timothy 6:1, patience just appears in a list. There's a list of graces. They're not explained what each one is, and its importance in the life of the Christian isn't explained in that place, but it's explained elsewhere where the same term is used. So we see it used, Romans chapter 15, in the context of keeping the peace in the congregation. As I've shown you, this word patience, or hupomone, as the apostle uses it, refers to how a Christian works waiting in hope for Christ, and how a Christian suffers or endures waiting in hope for Christ. We just looked there in Revelation and saw this mention of the importance of patience in keeping up the work of the congregation. And here you're going to see patience used in terms of suffering or enduring to keep the peace in the congregation. Romans 15:1. We then, who are strong, ought to bear with the scruples of the weak, and not to please ourselves. Let each of us please his neighbor for his good, leading to edification, or building up, or strengthening. For even Christ did not please himself. Now, this is one of the most fundamental things in true religion, right? We are the disciples of Jesus Christ. We trust in what he already has done for us, for our salvation, for our eternal life. But we also look to what he has already done for our example of how to live. Now, don't get things crossed in your mind. It's not that we look to his example, and if we do what he did well enough, we'll end up justified. That's the Roman Catholic system, essentially. Instead, we trust in what he has already done for us, and we are justified in God's sight through that faith in him. But then, believing in him for justification, we then look to his example for how we should live. So taking back up there, for even Christ did not please himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of those who reproached you fell on me. For whatever things were written before, meaning written in the Old Testament scriptures, were written for our learning, that we, through the patience and comfort of the scriptures, might have hope. Now may the God of patience and comfort grant you to be like-minded toward one another according to Christ Jesus, that you may with one mind and one mouth glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, receive one another, just as Christ also received us, to the glory of God. Let me talk through that with you. You already get this, I'm sure. You know how you act when you are acting according to the flesh, to just what comes natural to you. Somebody can do the tiniest thing that displeases you, and you immediately become displeased with him. Now, I'm saying this of you because I know it of me. I'm afraid that in many ways I have set a terrible example in this, especially at home. I can be on my best behavior on the Lord's Day at church better than I can maintain my best behavior all the rest of the time at home. So the people who live with me, you know, probably are on the receiving of end of this more than you who don't. If I detect that someone else is weak in some way that I am strong, I'm afraid sometimes acting by the flesh, I really treat that person as if I despise him for his weakness. I'm afraid I've done that countless times. If there is somebody who has some unnecessary scruple, you know, he won't do something because he thinks he shouldn't, but really that's not true. Or he thinks he has to do something and really doesn't really have to. And he thinks those things because he's new or weak. He still needs to mature. Later, as the Lord helps him, he'll understand. He doesn't really need to have those scruples. But he does now. I'm afraid that my natural reaction is very much to despise that person for that and treat him like that. You know, I'm not saying I'm as bad at that as I used to be long ago, but I know that's still there, and I know I still act like that. And my tendency is to just do what I please, to just do what pleases me without loving regard for the needs of somebody else who is weaker. Weaker in conscience on certain points. The fact that I act like that so much shows that I am weaker in other ways than probably he is. I just please myself without regard for anybody else. Now, that's not the way the Lord Jesus Christ did, right? He didn't just do whatever pleased him, whatever pleased his flesh, without regard for those who are weaker. Instead, what our Lord Jesus Christ did was put down what pleased his flesh in order to do all that was needed by his weaker brothers, including suffering and dying on the cross. Now, he did that by patience. He was able, by patience, to suffer what came because of others who were weak. He willingly, joyfully suffered those things for the sake of those weaker. And in doing so, made peace with and for those of his brothers who were weaker. Now, following that example, when we encounter people who say or do things out of weakness, which things might aggravate us or might be an occasion to tempt us to get angry, resentful, bitter, prideful, to despise them, to look down on them, to get puffed up with pride. You know that happens all the time in human relationships. When that happens in the congregation, and it does, right? More or less constantly. Somebody says or does something. Somebody has some way about him, some way of speaking, some way of acting. There's things maybe that he or she doesn't do, things that he or she does do, and they don't agree perfectly with you and your ideas. Well, then the temptation is immediately to have some sort of bitterness toward that person, some sort of trouble with that person. But that's not the way of Jesus Christ. Patience is suffering, enduring, having something unpleasant come upon you, but you're willing to endure it, and you endure it not resentfully or bitterly, but joyfully, hoping in Jesus Christ. Think of how if someone says or does something that bothers you. Maybe he said or did something that bothered you years ago and hadn't really done anything like that since, but you're still remembering it. Or maybe there's somebody in the congregation who does or doesn't do something that bothers you every time you see him. Well, okay, there is a way where you think of that person and you think of his faults. You think of the wrong he has done. You think of how much he bothers you. And so then what he is doing, you are thinking of in light of his failings, and that is not the Christian grace of patience. There is another way, which is to look on that person when he fails you in some way that bothers you somehow, a little bit or even severely, and then to look to Jesus Christ and your thought to be, my hope is not in that person anyway. It's not that I have joy only if that person only does what I like. It's not that I have peace only if that person pleases me all the time. It's not that I should look for fulfillment in trying to get that person to do my way that pleases me. No, all of those things for me are all in Jesus Christ. I look to him. He is the one who works inside others by his Spirit to make changes in them. He is the one who, in whom there is comfort for me so that I can be soothed of the irritation that others are bringing on me. He is the one in whom I have peace. He's the one who gives me all my joy. And it's not in anybody in my congregation, but in him only, that I have hope that in the future all will be made well when he comes back. And that is patience. That's the Christian grace of patience. So here in Romans chapter 15, the apostle is putting it to the congregation. If your way has been that way of irritation and anger and resentment and bitterness in the congregation, well then, flee from such things and instead pursue or follow after patience with your fellow Christians in the congregation. And in that way, the congregation will be of one mind, and there will be the receiving of each other in love rather than the rejecting of each other in hatred. There'll be peace in the congregation at present, and it'll be kept up in the long term. But that will not take place without patience. And as you know, us being humans, we don't need just a little patience to be able to have that effect of the congregation all receiving one another and being at peace long term. We need a large measure of patience. It might be that there are some people in the congregation that you can get along with them for a long time with only a little bit of patience. But then there might be other people in the congregation, you're not going to get along with them for long term without a large dose of patience. And you know, probably maybe they won't get along with you without a large dose of patience for them either, right? So it takes a lot of patience for a congregation to remain at peace in harmony with one another for the long term. I know that you love this congregation. I do too. I love being in this congregation. Been in this congregation a long time now, and it's a more blessed state than I've ever been in any other. I just love it. To keep up the work of the Lord in it, and to keep up the unity of the bond of peace in it, we have to have the grace of patience. So that is something very important. Now, it's important to me, but whether I realized the importance of it, whether it felt important to me or not, it still would be important. It so happens I do feel the importance of it, at least to some degree. You might already, or maybe it hasn't occurred to you. If not, then consider it. This congregation, the congregation that you're in, the work of it being kept up, the peace of it being kept up, that is something very important. It's not just this congregation, of course. You know, you might in the future find yourself in some other congregation. It could be that you as a girl might grow up into a young woman and Mr. Wright might find you and you find him and the two of you have a blessed, wonderful marriage. but Mr. Wright's work and his relatives and everything are off somewhere else. So you will go with Mr. Wright and you'll live there and make your life with him there, and you'll be in that congregation and not this one. Or something else may happen to take you elsewhere to be in some other congregation. I don't mean this congregation only. That's just where we are. Whatever congregation of Jesus Christ you find yourself in, its work and its peace are very important to you. These things being important to us, and patience being essential for those things being kept up, let us then flee from all the temptations that would hinder the work and destroy the peace of the congregation. So back to 1 Timothy chapter 6, where our study is, remember what has come just before. 1 Timothy chapter 6, starting in verse 4. See, there's the mention of pride and ignorance and obsession with disputes and arguments over words. There's envy, there's strife, reviling, suspicion. You see, all of those things we are tempted to in the congregation. We have to have large measures of patience to keep up the work and the peace, and therefore let us flee those things and follow after or pursue patience. As we just read a moment ago in verses 9 and 10, there's the temptation to be all about money, to be all about being rich. And those kind of things, if they have their way in a congregation, will spoil its work and its peace. Therefore, let us flee those things and follow after or pursue patience. So I'm showing you in the scriptures here the importance of patience, that we need patience corporately for the good of the congregation. I'm going to turn next to Hebrews chapter 10, and we'll consider that we need patience, each of us needs patience individually, for the salvation of the soul. Hebrews chapter 10. Now, the reason we've had readings in Habakkuk today is that here in Hebrews chapter 10, Hebrews, where there's lots of Old Testament scriptures quoted, quotes from Habakkuk here in Hebrews, here in chapter 10. I'll start reading in verse 32, Hebrews 10:32, we're here considering the importance of salvation for every individual as to the salvation of his soul. But recall the former days in which, after you were illuminated, you endured a great struggle with sufferings, partly while you were made a spectacle both by reproaches and tribulations, and partly while you became companions of those who were so treated or so used. For you had compassion on me in my chains and joyfully accepted the plundering or confiscation of your goods, knowing that you have a better and an enduring possession for yourselves in heaven. Now, that right there is the very definition of patience. What they have already shown. Therefore, do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward, meaning eternal life. For you have need of patience. Here's our word, hupomone. For you have need of patience, so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. You seem to have done fine so far up till now. You have indicated that you have received illumination, that you have understood the gospel, and you've indicated that you believe in Jesus Christ. Presumably you've been baptized, you've been assembling with the congregation. In the past, others, some of you have been persecuted. Others of you have shared with them in their persecution, helping them and not abandoning them. Even me, the apostle says, I was in persecution and you helped me. Some of you have even had your money and possessions taken away, your bank account frozen, in modern terminology, but you cheerfully endured all of that. Don't now cast away your confidence. What still lies before you calls for patience. See the beginning of verse 6? For you have need of patience. Your Bible might say endurance or something else. So that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. You understand that if someone seems to have believed in Jesus so far, that doesn't mean that, okay, as of now, you don't have to keep believing in him and you're still fine. No, that's not so. Don't be tricked into any such thing. No ideas such as, well, I've done my thing for Jesus, I've gone to church for a while, I got baptized, so I'm good there. Now I'm going to do something else. No, that's not true Christianity. So the apostle is going to prove this to us by this Old Testament quotation. So Hebrews 10:37, for yet a little while, and he who is coming will come and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith. But if anyone draws back or shrinks back, my soul has no pleasure in him. That Old Testament quotation is from the time when Habakkuk was praying about the horrible situation in Jerusalem. God was going to send the Babylonians or Chaldeans who were going to destroy and get rid of the wicked from Jerusalem. But the truth stated at that time, the apostle is able to apply perfectly by the Spirit to the situation in the congregation between when the Lord Jesus died on the cross and when he comes back for us again at the end. The situation is that people who have professed faith in Christ, they endure various kinds of trouble. And yet, whatever point you're at, that's not good English, isn't it? At whatever place you find yourself, the believing you have already done up until now cannot be left off or abandoned or discontinued, and you expect that you're going to be saved to eternal life. No, you see, the one who has faith, who believes, who trusts in Jesus Christ, who lives by his faith, that is the one that is pleasing to God, that is justified, that expects reward of eternal life in the end. But the one who seems to believe or says he believes, but then at some point draws back, shrinks back, pulls back, at some point he shows that really he is proud. He really doesn't think he needs to stay with Jesus and his congregation. He really thinks that he's going to be okay without that. So, since the congregation is getting arrested by the police, he's going to go do something else. Since those who are claiming to be Christians are no longer being thought well of in the community, but are now being hated in the community, well, he's going to stop saying he's a Christian, and he's going to see if he can kind of get away to his own place and not be known with them. Well, that kind of person who seems to believe then shrinks back or draws back, he should not expect that God will be pleased with him. God is not pleased with such things. A mere profession of faith without actual faith, that is not what pleases God. No one is justified in God's sight through saying he has faith in Christ. A person is justified through actual faith in Jesus Christ. Phony, fake faith has no true hope in Jesus Christ. Having no living hope in Christ, fake faith can have no grace of patience. So when tested by sufferings and tribulations, phony, fake faith shows its falseness by forsaking Christ and falling away. So a person who says he believes in Jesus Christ, but then when tested, casts away his confidence in Christ and draws back, that person should expect not salvation in the end, but perdition. True saving faith has true living hope in Jesus Christ. So, when tested by sufferings and tribulations, it shows forth in the grace of patience, and that grace growing in him. So a person who believes in Jesus Christ and when tested by tribulation has the patience of hope in Christ can expect his soul to go to heaven when he dies and can expect to be saved from God's wrath unto eternal life at the day of judgment. Now this is what I'm referring to when I say that we have need of patience individually for the salvation of the soul. Going on in the reading, Hebrews 10:39, but we are not of those who draw back to perdition, but of those who believe to the saving of the soul. The apostle here writing includes himself. He knows of himself that he's not faking belief. It's not a merely intellectual or social thing with him. He knows that he truly trusts in Jesus Christ, and he knows that all of the real, authentic disciples of Jesus Christ all have true saving faith. You can be outwardly present with other disciples. You can be thought of as a disciple, but the apostle is cutting through all appearances to the truth of the matter. All who truly are the Lord's disciples through faith do not draw back and end up in perdition. All of the true disciples of Jesus Christ believe at first, continue believing, by patience endure all tribulations, and in the end are found still in the faith. Now, that is the work of God. We don't try to take the credit for ourselves. Look how good we are. We still believe. Look how bad they are. They drew back. No, there's no haughtiness or pride in faith. Faith is attributing all of it to Jesus Christ. By faith, we even attribute our very faith to Jesus Christ. It is only by his work in us by his Spirit, that we even have faith and that we continue in the faith. So I'm putting to you the importance of the grace of patience, that it is important for us corporately, for keeping up the work and the peace of the congregation. And I'm putting to you the importance of the grace of patience because of how we need it individually for the salvation of the soul. This being needed both for the congregation as a whole and for each of us individually. Understand then how the apostle can say to us, flee from temptation and pursue patience. So patience is this thing of great importance, and we understand even naturally, don't we, how it's worth going to pains to have something that is important. If it is of vital importance, vital, a verb pertaining to life or living, I believe, vitality, vitamin, vital. If it is of vital importance, we will go essentially to any pains to get what is needed. I remember, Susan has had us read with the kids most or all of the Laura Ingalls Wilder books, Little House on the Prairie and the others. I know in one of the episodes from that family's history, the promising wheat crop was all eaten up by the swarm of locusts. And so there was the need for something for the family to live on. They had a mortgage on the property that had to be paid, and there wasn't going to be any money from the harvest, which was completely ruined. So Pa just took off walking and walked however far it was back east until he was past the area where the locusts had swarmed, and he worked as a hand for months until he had got enough money for the family to live on and pay the mortgage for a while, and then walked all the way back. And I know that that some of you have gone to similar labors, laboring very long and very hard to get what your family needs to live on. There are several of you among us who are the honored mothers who have borne the child, or sometimes more than one at a time, in your own body, and have endured all of the swelling and puffing and pains and everything, and have gone through the hours, or in some cases days of labor, or the surgery to bring forth those children. You have gone to all of that for the sake of the life of those children. See, we know natively, we know naturally. You know, we're willing. We know when something is important, and we know when a lot of times we know if something is of vital importance. We go to great pains to get it. Well, I'm putting to you today that the grace of patience is important. It is of vital importance. The very life of your congregation, which is really Christ's congregation, yours in the sense that you're a member of it, the very life of your congregation, its work, its peace, that it not be hollowed out into an empty shell, that it not be broken up and scattered, that it not be rendered ineffective, that the Lord Jesus not remove its candlestick from its place, requires patience. So then, for the life of your congregation, pursue patience. Run away from the things that are tempting you and keeping you from getting patience. With your back turned to them, follow after, pursue, and get patience. The existence of your soul, body and soul in the resurrected state, will be one either of an awful fiery torment called the second death that lasts forever and ever with no relief, or it will be one of a happy life with God in the presence of Jesus Christ and his saints. Your existence will be either hell or heaven forever and ever and ever. Whether you will have eternal life or the second death is a matter of believing in Jesus Christ or drawing back, shrinking back, having pride that there is some other way that you can find. This is a matter of vital importance. Having eternal life in heaven instead of everlasting death in hell is worth going to any pains to get. And what you need is to believe in Jesus Christ and then by patience continue in that faith all the way to the end. So then, for your eternal life, leave the things that tempt you to sin. Turn your back on them, repent of them, and follow after, pursue, chase after patience by which you continue in the faith unto eternal life. As we've learned already together, patience is something that you are to work at yourself. Reading and listening to the scriptures, meditating on what the scriptures say, thinking about the patience exhibited by those recorded in the Bible, Abraham, Job, the Lord Jesus especially, the Apostle Paul, others, meditating on their patience, exercising patience, attempting to believe and obey, to trust and obey, exercising that patience by you are responsible to work at adding patience to your character. It also cannot be done without God working patience in you. So we work at it ourselves. At the same time, we pray for it, for ourselves and for each other, that God will direct our hearts into patience. In these ways, we pursue, we follow after patience, and using the means that God himself has ordained, the scriptures, prayer, we then are sure to catch patience. We are sure to get it. We are sure to have it increased and increasing in us individually and among us all corporately. So that then we can, in faith, specifically in hope, look forward to years and years to come of our congregation continuing its work and remaining at peace, and we can look with a sure hope, a living hope, to the eternal life that is our reward when the Lord Jesus comes back and finds us still in the faith. Amen. Let's take this to the Lord in prayer.